Welcome to Speak in Flow, the podcast that helps leaders like you unlock the power of your voice, achieve maximum potential and flow through exceptional communication. I'm your host, Melinda Lee, and I am passionate about helping company leaders and their teams master public speaking, pitching with impact, and stepping into their full leadership potential. Thanks for tuning in to the Speak in Flow podcast, which is the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. When you stick around until the end, I have an exclusive gift just for listeners only, something that will immediately help you and your team up-level your communication. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak in Flow podcast, where we dive into unique strategies and stories to help you and your team achieve maximum potential and flow, even when the stakes are high. Today, I have a master, I want to say, about communication, connection, building strategic relationships. He's the director of channel and strategic partnerships for Actian. His name is Tony Zernon. Hi, Tony.
How are you? Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited. As the audience knows, we talk about building relationships because we know our net worth is our network. And so what makes you excited about what you do?
You took the words out of my mouth. I think that's what I pride myself is, you know, I think in a world that is very digital, right? These days we're, you know, most digitally connected. I feel that as humans, we are most individually, analogically apart. Right. I mean, part of it, COVID. So I think that the more trusted relationships we can build, which is not easy, it's not comfortable for us to go out. And some people have lost that art. I take pride on being able to spend as much time I have doing my day job, but also outside of that and help nurture those relationships. And time again, I've seen that as the more of these trust relationships you build, the more communities you build, it will just come back. Right. Things just happen. Right. Mm-hmm. It's just and the trick, I say, is put an effort and build relationships before you need it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, people know that, I think. Maybe not so much. Let's talk about the strategies to do that. But before we get there, I think that, like you said, a lot of times people know it and they struggle with it because we've lost it. Maybe COVID hit or it's just uncomfortable. So what are the key challenges that you see that people have with building these trusted relationships?
I think, Melinda, you said it. I think part of it is that we became comfortable. We became lazy, digital, whether we're nomads or not, but we are definitely becoming digital beings, right? Okay. It's great that AI is here. Leverage AI in what you can do to augment your capabilities, to increase your efficacy, all that. But it's not a replacement for you as a human being, right? And it's much easier to send a text to someone, right? I mean, think about before, right? When before all this happened, you would pick up the phone for your friend or someone like that, and you say, hey, happy birthday, right? Or you write a card, right? You know, and if you take those times, right, you're showing people that you care and you generally have an interest in them. It's not just an easy, comfortable text or an AI sending text. You know, you can program your iPhone with everybody else you want, you know, and then say, look, this birthday, send happy birthday to everybody. I think there's, I don't know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about actually take a part of your time and then go beyond your comfort zone, right? Call that one person that you guys used to be together, but you haven't gone for lunch, right? Just have a lunch, just go out for a drink, right? Just rebuild that muscle, right? That human connection muscle that we've lost, a lot of it for COVID. And a lot of it just because we're very busy individuals, right? And yeah, of course, I'm going to text it. And you can see this deteriorating over the generations, right? Millennials, somebody, and now Gen Z is kind of like, don't even talk to me, right? Just text me, right? So the more we go towards AI, the more of ourselves we're losing. So we have to take a stand. It's almost kind of like working out, right? Of course, it's easier to be on the couch, but you get up and you get on that treadmill, whatever you do, you will rip the benefits of it, right? There is some muscle memory that we've lost in this art of connecting, right? So I think that's what I would say, that, you know, just put an effort, put a goal for yourself. Hey, I'm going to go have a lunch with someone, right? There's a great book that says never eat alone, right? You know, never have a lunch. I forgot exactly the name of it, but I think that's what it is, never eat alone. And I think during corporate, I use that, right? I think, when you're there, when you go to your cafeteria, I'm sure there's somebody else out there. Just go have lunch with someone, right?
And do you have a specific example of how this worked in your successfully with your career?
Yeah, I mean, a couple different areas, but I give you one example is I was hired at a different company as a fractional to help them build a relationship with Microsoft, right? And I didn't know anybody at Microsoft, and definitely didn't know anything about healthcare. My background is in cybersecurity, right? And I've done partnerships and alliances, and build a whole go-to-market channel through partnerships. But in this case, one of my previous VPs of sales, who had gone to his company, asked me and said, "Can you do that?" So, well, I can do it fractionally. And I took it on because I wanted to know what was it to build a relationship with Microsoft, and then prove to myself that I was good enough of a connector, strategic alliance, business development person, if I could do it for a domain that I didn't know much about, which in this case was telemedicine. So I started kind of building connections through LinkedIn, and kind of I figured, okay, if I have a couple GMs and people, I convince them to connect with me, then I can have other directors connect with me. And that worked. By the time we went to the first Microsoft event, I think it was Inspire, I already had like 100 connections with me. And I already be able to go there, "Hey, I'm coming there," and made an effort to meet as many key people, right? And have those dialogues. "This is, my name is Tony. I'm with Global Med. This is what I'm trying to do." And I listened to what Satya Nadella had shared about the vision, what the mission of Microsoft was, and how our company could contribute to that goal. And I went and found a VP of channels. It was actually an event at an art show, which I loved. And we went over there and talked to Jackie. I said, "Jackie, can I share with you my goal, my vision for next year? By next year, I would love Satya Nadella to go on the stage and be as inspiring as was, but say, we want to democratize value-based care through partnerships with telemedicine companies like Global Med. Do you think that would be possible?" I said, "Oh my God, Tony, I love that. How can I help you?" Right? So we put our effort into that and started building relationships within Microsoft. And obviously, I had to train my team internally that, "Look, we're going to go this route. Here's what I need you to do. We need to basically be at Microsoft Technology Center." So it was a lot of orchestration that had to happen. But by October of that year, I started in March. By October of that year, we had our technology stack in Microsoft Technology Centers. I had been invited to, a bunch of QBRs. I had cell numbers of the GMs, right, of the Microsoft. And we went to a federal event in DC where they had an immersive, showcase where our technology was there. But guess what happened? This wasn't even 6 months, and Satya Nadella had a speech, right? He had a, for the federal side. And in fact, what we just talked about, he uttered that, right? He said, "Look, we will democratize value-based care through partnership with great telemedicine companies like Global Med." That completely changed the course, right? And it's like, oh my God, what's happening? And that's what, when you have a purpose and you can articulate that to people and they see you being assertive and they see you, hey, this is a win-win. This is where 1 + 1 = 3 or more. You say, "Well, why should I worry about partnering with Global Med?" You have to be able to articulate that. You have to show what is the win-win and the win for the customer, right? And that was a catapult for us, right, to do that. That's one example that you try to make those relationships as genuine as possible. And a lot of them was just go to events, find someone, had a dinner with their CTO, have a dinner with the GM, have some drinks. Let them know that you are a trustable person, that you guys are pulling the same direction. Once that trust is built, amazing doors will open, right? And suddenly you can bypass a lot of the bureaucracy.
That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. And you didn't even know anyone in there. And it took
Nope.
you 6 months.
Yep. I mean,
That
it wasn't just me, it was a lot of team. And there was a lot of, a lot of support, but also a lot of pulling teeth, trust me, from my own team that kind of like, it was interesting. It's a culture, right? You have to kind of instigate that also. It's, it's going back to salespeople want to be very individuals. This is what I'm doing. Why should I spend this? How does this benefit my pocket? They're very coin operated. You're constantly translating. And once they see the value that the partners and alliances can be a force multiplier for them, and it kind of like opens up to a new markets, like building a bridge to a whole different island, it's a green space. Then they're like, oh, the light goes up. So it's
Right.
a lot of advocacies, a lot of evangelism that comes with it on both sides.
So what would be your three big pieces of advice for these leaders who want to get buy-in from executives? Or maybe what are the three key advice from this story to build strategic relationships? Yeah.
I mean, this is one example. I can tell you another one. When you talked about executives, for instance, obviously when you come up with this, you have to have a very clear strategy. You're going to have a support team in your company as to why we're going to go do partnership, strategic alliances, tech partnerships with company A or B. Why am I going to go partner with AWS? Why am I going to partner with Cisco? Why am I partner with Microsoft? Right? Because this is not core to them, especially when you need to have the sales leaders to buy, because you're taking mind share from their salespeople, which should be just selling. And you kind of have to convince them. And I'll give you a quick example where I was a different company called VSS Monitoring. This was in the 2011 time era. And this were, we're building hardware, right? Back then, where they're packet brokers. And we had a fierce competition like Gigamon. I was brought in to build a vertical around cybersecurity, right? For these packet brokers as an inline bypass. I saw some challenges, and there was an opportunity that I had to go and convince the board, right, to allow me to bring an inbound OEM, where we bring somebody else's technology, we put a white label on it, and we sell it along our product. Why? Because their box was an appliance that would do SSL decryption, like when you do the HTTPS, if it's encrypted, your tool cannot, inspect it. So we had to decrypt the tool, decrypt the traffic, and pass it to the inspection tools. Well, that was a huge problem, but we didn't have the technology. So we brought it as an OEM, built it as almost exclusive for the packet brokers amongst my competitors, and then had to convince my team, my CFO, who didn't want to do an inventory, my product management team, who said, wait a minute, we built stuff. It's not VSS. You bring somebody else. Why should I do that? Why should I put effort? The marketing team, who didn't want to go build a whole messaging around it. And then executive team, like my CEO and then head of business development, luckily I was able to find a couple allies, right? So I was able to convince the CEO as to the why, right? Why we need to do this is a door opener. It was kind of like a Trojan horse for us to be able to do off-box decryption and then feed the traffic to multiple tools, which is what we're doing. And then I had to get the buy-in from my head of business development to help me with what I wasn't very strong, which was maybe the financial projection. How does this change the numbers? How do we position them? The CFO gets a buy-in. This is very strategic. It's not very tactical. And then really being able to kind of massage all this and then kind of create like an inception in their mind. Because sometimes when you go there and you try to convince the executive team, if you're trying to kind of force down to them, they don't have time to listen to you. The why has to be big enough. It has to either add to the top line or the bottom line. And you have to translate it. So the CFO has to do it. The CEO is going to look at that. The CRO is going, oh my God, you're distracting my people. Why should I allow you to do that? It's a lot of maneuvering. It's not going to happen in one meeting. So you have to have a lot of previous meetings,
Right.
figure out who are your buyers in your idea, who are going to be against, and then use the power of, who's your allies to kind of overcompensate for the guy who's always going to be a naysayer, right? And a lagger, right? So we had to do a lot of that. We had to have very, a lot of practice, do like a game theory. What is Jim's gonna say? What is Jack's gonna say? What is Jill's gonna say? Right? How are we gonna come back with that? And we had to believe that, hey, this is great. This is gonna be a land and expand. This allows us to go to even our competitors with that tool and then be able to show additional value. And this actually completely changed the game for us into the enterprise. We went from like a $3 million attributed revenue to security in to like 33% growth. Like actually, no, a lot more. 33% growth from 3% to 33% in 3 years, and getting to enterprise accounts with seven-figure deals in major finance, oil and gas, and telecommunications, right? And it was a strategy need to get people. It was a challenge, but
Yeah.
once there, we're able to go. And also, I think is the right timing. The first time we went, it wasn't right timing because the board was looking at a potential exit to Danaher, and they didn't want to have a dangling OEM. So I had to be patient and wait for that to happen. After it happened, then I was able to go use one of the strategic partnerships with McAfee to bring it back again. And then it worked, right? So a lot of times you have the right idea, but it's not the right timing. It's
Right.
not.
How long did this take? How long did this whole
So the initial part, It was probably about 4 or 5 months, right? That when we thought about it, we were kind of
I
meeting
thought.
this company until the OEM was done, and then the game just started, right? And then we had to go and do, trust me, I had to do a PLM, you know, I had to do product line management, I had to do inventory management, things that I didn't want to do as a partnership, but I had to take it on. Like, there are things that were just not fun, but it allowed us to really go through. I had more pressure internally against my product management because they're like, it wasn't their idea,
Right.
right? And they said they could do it better if
Right.
I'm like, no, I cannot wait 18 months.
Right.
18 months, we brought multi-million dollar deals and opened that. So a lot
Right.
of it was that, make it more concise, make it more valuable, have a storyline, but be able to articulate it to the executive because they have very, very short span, right?
Right.
So it was a lot of exercise of going through that and be able to back it by the right numbers, projections, and things, and then convince the board that, look, this is very strategic for us.
Right.
Because they're looking at attach rate. I'm like, look, we reduced it to the point that every one of those boxes, it would
Right.
be about 4x of our boxes, right? So it's a
Right.
1 to 4. And that number stuck with our CFO, right? And then that was all to do it. But to go from this idea to actually bring it down and tactically driven it was a lot of back and forth. We made some
Right.
mistakes and back and forth and really building those allies. And once started happening, do I did have challenges? Absolutely. I didn't have the right people to do solution marketing. And trust me, there was no ChatGPT back then that I could backfill, right? So I had to kind of convince people and
Yeah.
it's a great opportunity to come on board. It wasn't a comfort zone for salespeople, right?
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I would say that's a great story. One of
That
the
is awesome. That's
takeaways,
congratulations on that. Yeah.
I think, you know, always lead with the why first. What is
Right.
the why when you're trying to do a partnership? Why should the executive team give a damn about what you're about to say? What's in it for them? What's in it for the business? Is it aligned to the mission? If you're private or public, right? You know, you should know what those mission and the vision and mission is for that year. What are the strategic values? What are the OKRs, right? What are the operating, you know, key performance indicators, you know, and then carve the extra time, you know, and really have you basically coming up with the business pitch. It's just like you're pitching a startup, right, into the VC. It's the same play, right? And
Right.
as you do this, I would say that
And I also want to add, like, for those who are not pitching, who are maybe you're just in corporate, you're a mid-level manager, you're pitching a new idea, you might be partnering with a cross-functional team to do something, right? You're pitching an idea. So still similar.
I was blessed that I had a very, very astute and very, you know, supportive CEO, Martin Breslin. And he saw the potential when I went in there. And honestly, I went there because I got tired of people telling me I was in the tech marketing. I was a practitioner in cyber initially. And they'll say, tell me you're great in BD. I'm like, what is BD? Biz dev. What is biz dev? Is it sales? Is it product? I'm like, what am I? Not good enough for sales, not good enough for product. So what am I in between here? No, but you would be really good at it. Nobody could articulate what that was. So it became a challenge for me to go find it until I met Martin and this opportunity. And I basically used that as a platform to go become a BD, right? Become that, you know, things that are within you, right? I feel that what gets me going is when my passions are aligned with my talents, right? If you can do that, there's nothing else you don't want to do. I mean, you can actually smile in the toughest days. And for me, is I'm a connector, right? And I have a passion for making impact and building trusted relationship. So the business development was a natural thing. Other people could see it, but it was my blind spot, right? Because I was able to solve problems, not because I was the smartest guy in a room or you know, anything like that, but because I had built relationships with other people that were willing to do projects. It was like cleanup project in an enterprise that they wouldn't want to do that job for the boss. And they're
Right.
like, oh, just bring a task force. And I got to a point that Melinda, I got tired. That's why I left the corporate as a practitioner, because when Pulp Fiction came about, right, I felt I was Harvey Keitel, you know, the cleaner. And I'm like, your lack of planning is not my urgency, right? And I wasn't satisfied. So I just said, look, I know I don't like doing this. Let me go do something else that is more aligned to what I want to do. And they have different challenges. But what I would say is once you figure out the why, and then able to have your core talents aligned to it, and then build your relationships of what you don't have. I was able to find somebody who could really help me with, like, let's say, the financial projections and translate that into CFO lingo, which wasn't my forte at all. And I was the person in the head of business development, and eventually joined his team to go do this, right? So it's building those alliances, right? And the only way I was able to do it is because I had built those relationships with him, right? I had taken time to meet him, even though he wasn't my boss, right? You know, we connected and we figured out a way, how can I come part of your team, right? What can I do? And this was a perfect opportunity for us to do. And not only we won internally, the company won, our partnership won, but the customers won, right? This was something that wasn't available, and we offered them a very scalable solution that opened us up to tier one banking in the world, right? Oil and gas, telecommunications across the world, right? And it took about a tough 1 year to get it going, but it completely positions us differently against our competitors, which ultimately allowed us to get much more valuation when we exited to Danaher because of our, you know, vertical have built around security, right? Which our competitors didn't have, right? So
Wonderful.
hopefully that helps.
Wonderful. What a story. Well, congratulations. That's incredibly hard, like you mentioned, to be able to see the vision so clearly, to be able to talk to it, get buy-in from multiple people, multiple allies, and then also show the metrics, show the the traction for the naysayers to push it through to actually get to the end where you're able to see the results that impact the client, the organization. And so congratulations on that.
Yeah, I think it's there's our lesson learned that I try to kind of share, and they're you know, translatable into other things, right? So I bring that into the startup community and innovation in Silicon Valley. So I love to do mentorship for what I can mentor startups, like, because I love to make that impact, right? I get that itch. At Actium, we're in a data platform. So we build, you know, we're doing the partnership go to market, right? So we're trying to figure out what's a win-win look like. But outside that, I'm in the early stage investment community. So venture partnerships and, you know, help fund the funds, but also help the innovators, right? There's a lot of great technologies, right, that can build, especially with AI now, right? And a lot of people can build tech very quickly. But what they miss a lot, it has to do with go to market. And a lot of it is they don't have the right advisors. They don't know why should they do this. And when they get there, they don't know how to scale up. And that's where channel comes in, right? So having an idea and creating, okay, I'm going to do this first. I'm going to prove myself the value here. The product market fit is there. Here's my go to market, and be able to build those relationships, find people around you that have done this. And you don't have to go figure out everything on your own. It's the same thing. I didn't know what I didn't know, but I knew that Dean was the right person to help me figure that out, right? So it's building those alliances. This is called advisory, right? It's around you. And get into that community, right? Honestly, what I tell people, like, come out, it's behind a keyboard, right? Come out, talk to potential customers, ask your customers, get the voice of a customer. If you don't know, get some advisors who can get you there before you start building. You know, have a community that if you want to tap into it, you have built those relationships. Build those relationships before you need it. And I often say something to people, it sounds the same, but it's not. I said, some people come and network with an agenda, right? It sounds good. To me, it doesn't. I think you need to network with a purpose. Even though it's not the same, is not. What is your purpose? Is very different than you coming with an agenda. I have some people that come in, what do you do? What do you do? Oh, you're an investor? Oh, you're a founder. Okay, no. So, oh, you're just an advisor. Okay. I just need somebody who invests right now. You actually, I'm like, you're not going to go far. You know, you may get a one lucky person. It's good to have that aggressive approach and want to make it happen, but I think you're over your skis and quickly you're going to realize that people are going to avoid you, right? Because you need to contribute a little bit before you talk, right? So a lot of the same skills in the corporate, I brought them into the startup community, and I get a massive sense of, you know, accomplishment when I see I give an advice to someone and somebody actually listens and they're coachable. You get to a point that you want to help them, but they're not coachable, right? If you're a tech founder, be coachable. It's okay. You don't need to know everything. Don't have what I call a founderitis, right? That you're the founder of everything, you know everything. No, open up, man. It's okay. It's good to have vulnerabilities, right? That's how you build trust, right? And then your community will lift you up, right?
Well,
So,
yeah, like you said, I mean, I'm not the smartest person, but if you're open up, you can get the answers, you can get the right people. And I have a question about networking with purpose. What is that like? So you described the networking with the agenda. What is networking with purpose like?
There's this thing that the people go and define what is what is your purpose, right? You know, some people purpose is, I was listening to someone is like, you know, in the case of ambiguity and confusion, his purpose was to bring clarity, right? Because a lot of people have so many problems. We all have complex problems, but there's not one person that can sit down, listen to you, and then really help you pull in that thread and says, look, this is the path, right? The his purpose is to do that, is bring a concise, clear path through ambiguity. His purpose is clear, so he looks for that. Some other purposes is, hey, look, I want to make an impact, whatever that is. That's my purpose. How can I contribute to that and how I can do it? Some purpose, I want to make a lot of money. I want to make a lot of residual money, but I want to do it. Whatever your purpose is, your purpose to go find a co-founder, your purpose is to get, you know, the right funding to build a community, whatever that is, right? That, you know, and you're going to have to focus on that and let people know what your purpose is, right? I'm a connector. My purpose is to help startups in cybersecurity build applicable solutions, not a me too. I'm trying to remove the a lot of me too players. There's a lot of confusion in cybersecurity. We have 4,000, you know, security vendors, and RSA is going to come. If you walk the floor, honestly, it's close to having an aneurysm. They all sound the same.
Wow.
Number one investment area, Melinda, in security, I often joke with people. I say, what is it? Is it endpoint security? Is it cloud security? And they argue. I'm like, no, it's not. It's marketing. That's the number one investment area. I mean, they all sound the same. So we don't need another me too. My purpose is to help find the right talent that can see the problems that need to be solved. And we have a lot of them in cybersecurity, right? And we have a talent shortage. How do I go solve these problems? And then find those people, build the right community around them, from investors, from advisors, to say, hey, look, we need more talents coming in. Attract more talent, more diversity, more females in cybersecurity. That's one of my purpose, because we need people who are different, right? And then, you know, when I go with that, people know, oh, cybersecurity, you need someone, go talk to Tony, right? It just becomes your brand, right? It's just, you know, once people know that and you evangelize that, you don't have to work as hard. Other people want to be part of your purpose.
Oh yeah, I love that. I love that. I love that. So good. Right. Because like you said, when people know your purpose, they're gonna start going to you. And it could be all sorts of people, right? As long as they're in alignment with your purpose. Great.
And you'll support somebody else's purpose, right? I mean, you
Right,
know,
right.
for me, I support a lot of like female in tech, right? Women in tech, women in cyber. Why? Because we need that diversity, right? We need part of the minorities in cybersecurity, right? Bring the talent. Why am I doing that? I don't want to work, you know, more, right? I want to bring new talent, and that is, you know, to solve a 4 million skillful talent gap in cyber and AI now, right? It's a huge gap. We're losing this battle. Just to give you some numbers for your audience. So the entire cybersecurity domain, Melinda, is about $250 billion, right? It's a big number. The hacker economy, by end of this year, it's going to be over $10 trillion in profitability.
What?
Yeah. So that makes them the third largest economy in the world and bigger than the entire cartel. Right, business. So they have to be right only one time. We have to be right 100% of the time. It's an asymmetric war.
Gosh.
And we have a 4 million talent gap. How are we going to solve that problem? So, what is my purpose? To be able to make an impact, because you can imagine, right, with AI and everything, they're using AI to attack us more efficiently. And I'm like, how are we going to do that? We're building all these AIs. How are we going to build cyber resilience into that? And it's just this community, like, guys, how do we do it? So we created think tanks to solve this intersection. How do you solve the bias? You know, all the kind of things that you can imagine going to AI. And like, you know, the sky is not falling, but if you don't do something, you know, the floor will open up.
That's funny. That's funny. Wow. Okay, that isn't funny, but I like that analogy. That really is a good visual. So I'm so glad that we have leaders like you and trying to make this impact. And how can people get a hold of you if they're on the mission? They want to be on the mission with you and the purpose with you. Can they get a hold of you? Should
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, everybody now these days, everybody uses LinkedIn as a very poor CRM for that matter. People just connect you on LinkedIn. I'm like, well, when did that happen? So I give you, so my handle on LinkedIn is very simple. It's my last name. Zirnoon, right? So if you go LinkedIn, .com/in/Zirnoon, I'm there. So just connect with me on LinkedIn, and
Love
I'll be
it.
more than happy to connect with people and, find common purpose, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tony. I really did learn a lot, and I trust that also the audience did too. I appreciate your time and your expertise.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here, Melinda. It's great, great meeting you, and we'll continue your dialogues. I love the speak and flow. That attracted me right there. Just like
Oh, great.
that's
Thank
your
you.
purpose.
That's the purpose, speak and flow. So I hope that you audience too had got your golden takeaways and implement them right away. And remember, anytime you have an opportunity to speak, you have an opportunity to connect, to inspire, to speak and flow, even when the stakes are high. So take care. I'm your sister in flow. Until next time, much love. Bye-bye. That's a wrap on today's Speak and Flow podcast. I hope that you gained valuable insights to help you communicate with more clarity, connection, and confidence. Before you go, let me ask you this. Can your team communicate your founder story in a way that strengthens relationships and builds your company brand? If not, I've got a tool for you. Introducing, it's an AI founder story creator. This is a tool to help you craft a compelling story instantly that you can share with your team, and therefore your team can share with lots of people, building your brand. Grab this tool. In addition to creating immediately your founder story, you're also going to get one-on-one coaching with me so that we can continue to refine the story so that it's in alignment with your company messaging. Click on the link in the show notes, grab it today, and until next time, keep leading with confidence and courage.